You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network. I'm not going to say the tagline because I don't deserve the tagline. Great, I am, as I said last week at the last episode, that dealing with some health issues now. It's fun to just add to everything. I'm going to be okay, but it's still just annoying. So anyway, all right, we are going to try to play catch up a little bit. Hopefully starting today, we're going to get one out today for sure. Here we're doing an earlier day one, which is rare for me, and then hopefully I'll do one at night too, but we'll see. But we're going to try to get in all of our, because we haven't gotten to the defensive preview stuff. We did the offense. We need to try to get to the defense before, optimally before the Big Ten Media Days next week. Because we'll obviously, I'll cover Big Ten Media Days. My intention is to have a preview show on Monday and then a recap on Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll see, because that'll be another travel day. Nonetheless, that is the hope and that is the goal. We'll have the mailbag on tomorrow on Thursday. Next week, we'll obviously try to do the same. But we're really getting into it. Unofficial start of the season is coming here next week. And it's already started for Big 12, SEC, and ACC. So, pretty cool. It's pretty amazing when we get to this point. But let's start off on the defensive preview. We're going to start with the defensive ends. I am going to split them up. Interior defensive line, exterior defensive line. Because the defensive ends, it's actually just really edge rushers. That's what we'll call it, because some are obviously going to be linebackers. Then we'll do linebackers. I might lump all the defensive backs together, but maybe not. I don't know. We'll see how I feel that day. But we're going to try to knock all of those out. So all five-ish position groups in a mailbag before Monday. That is the hope and the goal. So let's get to it. Obviously, we all know what's happening as far as the losses. You lost Aiden Hutchinson and David Ajabo, and the way the media kind of tells it at large is that it's a very daunting challenge for Michigan. While that might be true based off of the production from last year and it becoming a Big Ten championship year, I don't think it's necessarily that giant, in a sense of, yeah, anytime you lose a guy that goes number two overall, another guy that would have been a first rounder if he didn't, you know, torn his Achilles the ACL or whatever it was, I can't even remember now, in the pro day. Those are some losses, but Michigan always has lost guys for the most part. I mean, and then replaced them with other good ones. It's been the case in the Jim Harbaugh era this entire time. I said it on the podcast last week, I think, that we have seen every single starter for Michigan at edge rusher get drafted. Every single time. And most of them have been high end. Taco Charlton was a first rounder. Chris Wormley was a third rounder. Chase Winovich was a third rounder. Rashawn Gary was a first rounder. Josh Uche was a second rounder. Quiddy Pay was a first rounder. So we've seen all of these guys go at a very high level, right? It's every single one of them. So with that in mind, they do have some bodies. It's just the question of how is it going to work out with the ones that they do have. We've been hearing all offseason how good Mike Morris is in their eyes. We have obviously saw some flashes, particularly against Penn State. I thought he had a really good game against Penn State, and he had some plays that in the past would have torched Michigan if it wasn't for, it's not even about the edge rushing. It's just about being able to drop down and being able to pick off a crossing route. Those types of things that we saw him do. Taylor Upshaw started the year as the starter last year before he got usurped by David Ajabo. So it's a matter for him to take that step forward and do what he is capable of. It's his fifth year. He says he's taking it upon himself to really step into that leadership role. So we're just going to have to see what that looks like, if he's able to maintain a high level of play and take that big step forward. Then there's the other names that we're obviously looking at here. You know, maybe I will do the whole defensive line. It almost feels like it's too little to do one position group, just one part of the position group. But I will. So yeah, let's just do that. We're changing it on the fly based off of what I had thought. But let's throw in the interior, because obviously they lost Chris Hinton. That's no good at all, obviously. But you still got Mozzie Smith. You still got Julius Welskoff, who didn't necessarily have a big year last year, but the year before he really was showing some flashes. So you still have some guys who have done it. The only one that's really done it at a high level, as far as on the defensive line, is Mozzie Smith. But some of the other guys have seen some moments, and then you got to include some guys that would be considered outside linebackers as well, like Jalen Harrell, who very well could be another Josh Uche type. I think of him more as Josh Uche than David Ajabo, and even though I think that there seems to be this overarching kind of, well, you need a David Ajabo type because look at what David Ajabo did. They can do just fine with a Josh Uche type, right? I mean, he led the team in sacks several years ago, despite there being a first rounder and a third rounder also doing their thing. So there are a lot of options. It sucks losing Chris Hinton. It sucks losing the other two. And you just wonder where it's going to go from here. There's obviously a lot of names that I'm hoping take a big step up. There's one I think is going to take a big step up. And that's one that I haven't mentioned yet. So let's get to that momentarily. But before we do, as the sun comes out and small businesses are back in business, LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses ranked LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, so there's obviously a lot of new-ish names and faces. I'm a little bit skeptical about, hopefully we'll find out at Big Ten Media Days next week about where Gabe Newberg is, because I know he posted some pictures to Instagram and he was walking with a cane. So I don't know if he's still, it looks like he's maybe still recovering from injury, or those were old pictures. Not really sure. Hope to find out a little bit more about where he stands, if he's still kicking it with the program, all that kind of stuff. So that'll be interesting to find out, because I remember a staffer who's no longer with the team telling me that he had everything that Chase Winovich had. We saw a tiny glimpse against Wisconsin in the blowout situation in 2020, but then he's been injured since, so we haven't really seen him. But the name that I am the most excited about when it comes to the defensive ends, honestly, is Braden McGregor. We saw a little bit of what he was able to do in the spring game. I think that I said it before, like years ago, might have said it on the podcast. I don't remember if I did. And granted, I didn't think Aiden Hutchinson was going to be number two overall pick, but I said, at least among my little inner circle, when Braden McGregor committed to Michigan, I said, whatever Aiden Hutchinson is, Braden McGregor is going to be like that plus one. So now I'm not necessarily saying that because I think that Aiden Hutchinson definitely exceeded everyone's expectations. But I definitely can see, as long as he's not stymied by the mental aspect, which can happen when you tear an ACL, he looked very good in the spring game. Didn't really look like he had lost that step. It's obviously, we saw, again, another loss on the defensive line. Donovan Jeter kind of had gone through that. But it'll be interesting to see if he's able to come in and finally be able to play up to his potential. And I think that, again, the schedule really bodes well for a player like him to kind of get comfortable, to be able to go out there and make a few plays. And one of the things that I think, especially defensive line, is you have to remember, once they just start kind of get rolling, right? Like, David Ojabo was not expected to be a household name last year. You know, no one was really talking about him like that. Granted, Big Ten Media Days, there were some people who said, like, he was really that guy. I remember asking Josh Ross and Aiden Hutchinson, and they were like, David Ojabo is the one who's really impressing me. So no surprise on that end. But from a national perspective, no one was talking about him being, like a top 45 player in the country. You know what I mean? So I'm curious to find out next week if a guy like Braden McGregor has taken that jump. It seems like Mike Morris has, according to what we had heard in spring, but we'll see how some of those guys are speaking about him when we get to Big Ten Media Days. And there's four guys to ask, so that'll be interesting. That is a development. Just a quick aside, because Michigan is bringing four guys to Big Ten Media Days. They always usually bring three, but I think normally every team brings three. But this year, they're allowing some teams to bring four. Michigan's one of them, so that'll be interesting. That'll certainly provide more content, so I'm excited to see what that's all about. But, yeah. Outside of that, I mean, you also have a guy in Cam Good, interior defensive guy, transfer from UCF, who I often forget about. So, I mean, I don't know that necessarily he's going to be a game breaker. I'm kind of having feelings of Jordan Whitley, you know what I mean? A guy that everyone was like, oh, he's going to be an absolute beast, and he did nothing at Michigan. I don't think he's still with the team. I think he's graduated or whatever. Maybe he is. I don't know. But Cam Good, he's a guy who had three sacks last year, played in 13 games for UCF. So, I mean, that's a solid deal. Four tackles for loss, three of those, of course, sacks. And then as far as overall tackles, he had 24. So that's pretty good. I don't know that I was going to say if I could pull up PFF real fast. I don't know that I can. I'd like to see where he rates again as far as that's concerned. Let's do it just because we can. So by player. That's the problem with doing these stream of consciousness sometimes. Sometimes you don't know exactly how it's going to go. So here's how Cam Good graded by PFF. I mean, he had a pretty good overall grade. He had some bad games, of course. But his overall defensive grade was a 70.4 last year. The year before, 2020, he had a 78.4, so he was even better, but a smaller game size, of course, season size. But he had solid games against Boise State, Bethune-Cookman, which you would hope so, Navy, and UConn. So, I mean, yeah, those are the types of games you would hope. Not so great against Florida, which was the best team that they played in the bowl game. But although UCF won that game, I believe. But nonetheless, that's where he was at. So he's had a run defense has tended to be pretty good. It's pretty much even with pass defense. So I am curious to see how he fits in. Along with, I mean, obviously, like I said, Julius Welschkoff, I think we have been talking about him. Brandon Collier has been out there saying, like, listen, y'all don't understand what an athletic freak he is. I believe he ended up on the freaks list at one point. So I'm really excited to see what Julius Welskopf does, because I think that he's needed. I know he's still around the program. He lives in my area. I see him all the time. So I am very excited to see what he's able to do. Then obviously in the interior, you've got other guys like Rayshon Benny, who everyone has been raving about. I'm curious to see if he's ready to take that next big step as of yet. Because obviously that's the talk, is that he's ready to turn that corner. I think it's a little harder for a defensive interior guy to be that guy, to be able to turn that corner, but that all indications are is that he is starting to do it. George Rooks and Ike Iwana, are others that I feel like could take that step forward as well. Moving back to defensive ends, I'm equally excited about Keyshawn Bennett, who just has the look like he's carved out of stone. Maybe not as much as Mike Morris, but I think that he could really be a guy who comes in and surprises people. Again, remember, no one, like I mentioned what's his face? See, my brain isn't working very well right now, but this is why I do it at night. I'm not that much better at night, but I am better at night. I mentioned how no one really expected David Ojabo to really take that big step forward. No one was expecting it of Chase Winovich at all. The year before he really started bursting out of the scene, he's coming up to me on the field at a road game asking, like, I'm going to be on special teams today. Can you get some pictures of me? You know, like, that's... And then the next year, it's like everyone's like, whoa, who's this guy? And the next year, he's a starter, and he's just blowing things up, and he's a household name. So it takes that a little bit, and it's good that he's been in the system for a year. Because Keyshawn Bennett really just, he looks like exactly what you would hope for out of a defensive end at a Big Ten school. So I'm excited to see what he's able to do as well. All right, let's talk about the rest, or at least as much as I can remember. So we'll do that here in a moment, but betonline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in all your betting needs. Find all of your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so we still have some others to discuss here when it comes to the defensive front. Trying to figure out exactly, the hard part is trying to figure out who to talk about, because we don't know exactly who's all going to take those steps forward and who's not, but the names that are obviously kind of front of mind that we haven't spoken about yet, the number one for me is Derek Moore. Comes in at 250 pounds, out of St. Francis Academy, guy who was committed to Oklahoma. I know Oklahoma hasn't been known for its defense, though it was kind of getting there under Alex Grinch. We'll see what happens in USC in that front, but nonetheless, I think that he's a guy who comes in already kind of able to be a defensive end. I think that he's the type of guy that they'll bulk up to defensive tackle. So I am very excited to see what he is able to do. I think that he certainly has that possibility of being a freshman standout, because you can do that at defensive end as a freshman. I mean, that doesn't mean you expect them to be really lighting everything on fire. That usually doesn't happen, but getting in, at least having a similar role to what Aiden Hutchinson did in 2018, I think that wouldn't surprise me, kind of get him going. So I'm excited to see what he is able to do on that front. I didn't mention TJ Guy, who's another one. I know that they're very high on him, and we've seen quite a bit of him coming in late last year. TJ Guy is one of those kind of, I mean, I can't call him a Don Brown special, because, I mean, he kind of is, because I think he was recruited by Don Brown, but Don Brown was gone by the time he arrived. But, you know, a guy that was kind of under-recruited out of Massachusetts. And, I mean, we started seeing him get some playing time last year. And he looked really good in the spring game. So I'm excited to see what TJ Guy is able to do. And then, obviously, Mason Graham is the interior guy who I think could buck that trend of being a freshman interior guy who makes a big impact. Somehow I spent all this time forgetting about Chris Jenkins. This is why I looked up the roster, because I knew I was forgetting someone. We all know that Chris Jenkins is going to be a starter. I think this is a good reason why to hang him up. I just need to hang up my media badge right now. I spent the whole time not talking about a starter. I put him in with the guys that were expecting to maybe be impact guys here in the middle. But that's why I looked up the roster late second. Chris Jenkins is another one that's been spoken of quite a bit. I almost want to scrap this whole podcast. I don't have time to do that, but I almost want to after that type of gaffe. Unbelievable. All right, well, Chris Jenkins, I think, is going to be, obviously, I think he's going to be a starter alongside Mozzie Smith. He's kind of got the body of a defensive end, even though he's 275 pounds. He was lean and mean, kind of like Aiden Hutchinson was, but he's an interior guy. So it's going to be interesting to see. Just the rotation in general, to me, is going to be very interesting because I think that they've got about four guys on the ends that could make a big difference. I mean, they're telling you that it's going to be Taylor Upshaw and Mike Morris and Jalen Harrell because they gave us those guys in media availabilities in the spring. I think Braden McGregor is going to be right there. I think TJ Guy is going to be right there. I think Keyshawn Bennett's going to be right there, and I think Derek Moore's going to be right there. Now, you can have that type of rotation, and just because a guy is an edge rusher doesn't mean that he's not necessarily going to be someone who could rush from the inside, because that's obviously, that's some of the things that we've been hearing. It's something we saw last year, but something we've also heard from guys like Mike Morris about why they love this system is because it allows them to rush from the inside as well. So you have multiple guys like that. Interior, it's maybe a little bit less. There's maybe fewer players there. I think that you're looking probably at about four or five that are going to be playing with regularity. That's Mozzie Smith. That's Chris Jenkins. I think that that's going to be Julius Welskoff in his final year. Cam Good. And then we'll see if Rayshon Benny or George Rooks are the types that can really start getting into it, right? They've had some talks about Dom Judice. He was mentioned by Mike Elston in the spring. That's kind of a I'll believe it when I see it type thing, but I know that he's, I mean, again, he's 6'5", 275. He's an interior line guy, and you know what? Weirder things have happened. I know he wasn't someone who was very heralded as a recruit. Again, weirder things have happened. And I know there's people out there listening to me say that and scoffing. And then I got to remind you that Quiddy Pay was a three-star from Warwick, Rhode Island that nobody wanted, you know? So sometimes guys can take those big step forwards. And I got to include Mason Graham in there because I know that he's one that everyone's talked about. So going through the lists of players who I think are going to contribute, I feel a little bit better, but they're going to need some pressure generated from other positions. And more importantly, they're going to need to figure out how to do some things to keep, you know, that's really struggling here. They need to figure out how to keep the football in front of them. And I think that the biggest area where Michigan can have success this upcoming year is at linebacker. If Michigan's going to have defensive success, it's going to be because the linebacker play is good. And I think it will be. That's going to be our next area of focus when it comes to the defensive preview. All right, so now everyone sees why I don't do these before 7 p.m. why I don't ever, my mind does not work until at least 4, but that's where we're at. Anyway, that's going to do it for us for this one. We're going to try to do another one tonight, try to get caught up. Again, the goal is to get all of our preview positions out of the way before Big Ten Media Days so that we can focus on the upcoming season based off of what people are saying and news that's happening and all of that stuff. So that is the goal. But Thursday will be the mailbag. I'm putting out the call for questions now, so do get your questions in. All right. Thank you for watching and or listening. Thanks for dealing with me being completely rendered speechless during what's supposed to be a 30-minute speech. We'll talk to you again soon. Peace.